potential finally achieved? Not according to everyone, but Off Centre might be hitting a groove finally. Join us with special guest Sam Taunton on this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
At the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys do an intro?
Not really.
Yeah, there is, but not.
We talk for ages and then intro.
Except not so much recently.
All of it goes out.
We've got some more hard hitting analysis.
That's true.
Last couple of weeks.
It's like a musical sting that gets edited.
So I suppose.
What's the song? Every Time I Look For You by Blink 182.
Yeah, expertly spliced in with a quote from American Pie.
Oh, Have you thought about doing a whole song as the intro? And just let it play for
6 minutes. You want it to be like a Tame Impala song or something.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah.
And
then, you want it to be a Grateful Dead song.
Yeah. 11, 12 minutes.
I thought for a minute you had a band coming up that you wanted to
play. Oh, yeah, I'm plugging my band. Yeah, it's called Sam and the Giggle Boys.
You should do like the thing that like Sufjan Stevens does with his stepdad. Do a musical project together with your daddy.
Oh, with your daddy. Yeah.
And I'm your daddy. I'm wearing full leather.
My dad doesn't really talk to me at all. But what he does do is...
But he does collaborate.
He does. Like every morning, every second morning, he just sends me a video of him playing guitar. No, how's it going, son? How are you?
What time in the morning?
Check out this roof.
Probably like mid-morning, he'll send it through.
Cool.
He's like, you're just doing my scales.
Do you respond to it?
Oh, sometimes.
What do you say? Like, good stuff, Dad.
Shred,
I'm
Dad.
Like, keep it up, brother. You know, all that kind of stuff. What do you say to your dad when he clearly is trying
shred
to
the
show
nub.
Off to you?
You're crushing it.
Yeah. Nailed it again, mate. Like the last
time. I can't imagine my dad trying to show off to it. Like, Hastings, you must have so many examples of this.
My dad showing off to me.
Cool,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah.
It's everything I've ever seen him do has been an attempt to show it. I only worked this out recently. He's constantly been trying to impress me. That's his whole thing.
Really? Yeah, does he call you Hastings?
Yeah.
And what do you call him?
I call him by his first name.
That's messed up. None of that's good. What's his first name? Pete.
Jared.
Jared.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're like, hey, Jared.
McGowan. He's
like,
it's Jared McGowan.
Yeah, I call him Jared or Jed sense. Or Jerry.
Jerry's not
sometimes
bad.
We'll get a Jerry.
What
yeah.
about Jezza?
Yeah, we have different last names. He's not Hastings. Hastings is my mom's name. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still kind of
really.
Weird.
He can still not.
It's weird for your dad to call you Hastings. Like, you can say that. I'm not saying that's not weird.
I'm going to ask my dad to call me Hastings.
Yeah, I was going to say it's weird when my dad calls me Hastings. Just from England all the way. And he's like, oi, Hastings.
Oi, Hastings. How you doing? You all right?
You all right, mate?
You fucking? You
it's
your
also
fuck
like
on
weird.
My son?
You went running one through one recently. It is interesting as well.
That is what he's like.
Yeah, to talk about your dad therapy-wise when we're all sitting in this weird shell facing you.
Yeah,
it does feel like therapy. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, not really important. But,
about Hastings?
About Hastings. About Hastings' dad. She's like, is he single? What's his story? No, she was saying she was talking to her mum. They've got a very open relationship. Her mum's been dating. And her mum the other night was like, darling, I had an orgasm last night. It was terrific.
Oh, man. That rocks.
Like saying you had a really good curry or something.
Yeah,
like
totally. So I popped down to the pub. He made me come. It was awesome. I don't know why she's English. I'm channeling your dad.
Yeah, it's my dad. That's the story. It was my dad.
Yeah. Are you from England?
Yeah.
He's like, Jamie, my boy, I came last night.
I finally spoofed, mate. You wouldn't
what's,
say spoof.
What's the yeah? What do they call
spunk?
What do they call yeah? What do they call cum in England?
Spunk.
Spunk. Yeah.
Cum.
Do people still say sprog? Do you guys remember sprog?
Yeah, I remember sprog.
I remember sprog being more like hawking loogie. Ooh. Like I've done it.
I've never called it that ever.
Yeah.
So what they call it sprog? I don't even know what I call it now. I guess I just call it cum.
Yeah.
I'm pretty boring in my name's for sperm.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't think there's any better way than like. Because, like, even saying, like, can I jizz on your titties sounds like, you know, afterwards you're going to get picked up and taken to the mall.
Yeah. Like, in an insex context, cum, I think, is the only
one. Cum is the only one.
But what about the word titties? Do you think that is...
Oh, no, titties is fair game, dude.
You think that... Because I feel like...
Could you say titties during sex?
Yeah, I think so.
I love your titties.
Oh. Man, he goes,
I think it's tits during titties post.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think titties is post game talk, locker room talk.
I think I might be able to.
Titties a bit of fun.
I think I might be able to pull off a titty.
Titties is dessert.
Can I come on your titties? No, actually, yeah, no, now weird. I'm saying it.
That sounds like saying, can I come on your boobies?
that rules.
I reckon in dirty talk, though, it's hard. The words have got to be short.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
know what I mean? It's got to be like slut.
Yeah.
Cum,
fuck. Yeah.
Cunt.
Well, it's all good. Yeah, and it's got to be hard.
When you're doing like boobies, titties, it's a bit like, it's a bit too long.
It's a bit jovial.
You're dangerously close to baby voice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Baby. Well, do you think as well it's got to do with like their hard
don't
sounds
come on my titties, it's scaly.
Penis,
it's scary out there.
What's happening?
Oh, just people talking all at once.
I was going to say, like,
we're doing our own thing over
here.
It's hard sounds for like the hard penis.
Yeah.
Like, oh, because
hang on,
that's what's
you're
supposed
being very
to happen.
Heteronormative here.
Yeah. Oh, well, the hard pussy then.
Yeah.
Hold on, Jamie just said hard penis. He didn't say who owned it.
Sometimes there's a pussy and sometimes
how do you know
dick,
I wasn't talking about a...
Because of hormonal issues, the dick is not hard.
Well, how do you know
sometimes
I wasn't...
Sometimes because of cocaine issues, the dick isn't hard. You don't see me flexing.
I was going to say, a lot of the time the dick's not hard.
I think we have to spend...
I'm soft right now.
Yeah. Is the pussy supposed to be hard?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't...
Hard as a rock. And dry.
Okay.
Like limestone.
Interesting.
It's got to be like smashing into something.
Wow.
At high speed.
Okay, cool. I'm writing that down.
Yeah. We need more time to normalize the conversation around people who get soft dicks from cocaine as well, I think.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I think it's
dude.
Pretty normal, isn't it? People talk about it all the time.
Yeah, it's like if you do, like, it's, yeah, like, I don't think anyone, no one's immune to it.
Mm. Well, yeah. I think it's cocaine's little, it's cocaine's little, like thing to get you, you know. Like,
yeah,
you can have a bit of fun.
Yeah,
but
pill dick.
Yeah,
well,
I got nature's workaround, so it's all good.
Nature's reach around, did you say?
Yeah, Viagra.
That? Oh, Viagra.
Yeah, all natural.
Yeah.
Organic, natural.
That's
sidafinil.
Comes from the ground, baby.
Just really pushing the heart to its fucking highest.
Yeah.
Octane.
Absolutely.
Do you reckon you guys, because you guys are all party people.
Oh, Jamie especially.
Do you think
done drugs.
Do you think it's going to have a negative effect on you guys down the line?
No.
Okay. Rosie?
It's probably already had a negative effect on like my ability to produce serotonin.
Right.
Yeah.
Jamie?
I've never done anything more than weed.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, no. Although I smoked for like 15 years.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of that having a negative.
No one's ever been hurt.
Came out the other end, baby.
Do you ever crave marijuana?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
But you smoked it for 15 years.
No, I smoked cigarettes.
Oh, are you off the darts?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Lockdown, baby.
Wow. And it just once you decided to not leave the house to get them?
Yeah. Like, I just started, like, saving money and stuff like that. And then before I knew it, it had been 3 months I hadn't done it. Like, I've smoked a couple of times since, but not, like, serious. And I don't really... I haven't bought a pack of cigarettes since, like, mid-March.
That's great.
So, like, I will, like, bum cigarettes from people. Okay, I think I've smoked 3 times in, like, the last 120 days or something like that.
It sounds, you're definitely counting. I think that's a good space to be. Because, like, you don't want to be, like, the person who's like, I can't have one cigarette because the floodgates will open.
Yeah, I get, like...
It's nice to celebrate and have a cigarette.
I also do think, like, there is something to, though, regretting it the next day. Like, to come home and be, like, a little, like, ah, fuck. Like, I did it, but, like, fine, you know?
Yeah.
And move forward. But whereas if you're like, I did it, I'm okay with it. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. That's, like, the first step towards...
That's how I realized every time.
Yeah.
You don't smoke darts, Hastings.
No, I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rosie, you're still going strong?
Yeah.
Yeah. More, if anything?
No, I would say. Like, the same.
Yeah.
What about you?
Cigarettes.
Because you were on the old vape before, weren't you?
Oh, I mean, I reckon, I just kind of swing in and out. Like, I don't really smoke that. I had a few the other night at a gig, and then occasionally my housemate smokes, so sometimes I'll have one with him.
Right,
but not really. I reckon I might have one or two a week.
Yeah.
Maybe some weeks I'll have 5, other weeks none.
So, like, I wouldn't go to, like, 1 or 2 a week now. I'd probably, like, I'd do it, like, when I go out and drink, like, at least 6 beers. But then a lot of people I know smoke Rollies, which I kind of don't like that much.
That's a good place to be in.
So
you don't like
you
the Rollies.
Asked me for one.
Yeah.
So. Well, Taylor's kind of like hurt, I reckon. Yeah. You feel gross the next day.
Yeah. I asked a friend, Jack, for a few after your gig the other night. And, like, you have them. But, like, they just feel so inconsequential to me. Like,
right.
I just rip through them for some reason.
They go quick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the problem with vaping is that there's no time, you know. It's like, I mean, there's no time limit.
Oh, you
yeah. in bed vaping.
You're constantly vaping when I see you these days.
Yeah,
just
I like
sitting on
it.
The pool table at Everly. Like,
yeah, and it's like, no, no, you vape inside. And they're like, yeah. Oh, can you not do that? That's all that happens.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, I think I also, I prefer, because I tried to vape for a bit.
I've and got I, a guy if you yeah, also vape.
I got a little into it, but not too much. Because, like, I kind of like the structure of smoking cigarettes. Because, like, with a vape, you can just do it any time you want.
That, and that's
and,
the
but,
issue.
Like, even when you go out for a cigarette and you time it, you're still like, this is the lamest thing in the world that I'm standing out here, like, trying to recreate.
But that isn't that, to me, that is the big issue with smoking. It's the structure. If you smoke heaps, you're used to that. It's tied into anxiety a lot of the time, I think.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
you get used to it, and then you get anxious if your routine's gone, which is, or if anything is kind of a miss, you're like, I'll have a cigarette.
Reset,
you know?
What I'm told, apparently, is because I roll them. Apparently, I start getting the like positive endorphins.
From the roll?
Before, yeah, like because like my brain knows it's about to happen.
That's awesome.
I get that with cutting weed. I start relaxing once I start cutting.
It's
kind
of
and
it's all part of the little process.
Yeah, it's
the
a little
fun
ritual.
Thing you enjoy.
Little,
yeah,
a little ritual.
Because we are
kind of like when I jerk off.
That's a ritual?
Yeah, absolutely.
I reckon...
Mecca.
I don't even... Is that a bit you're doing? Because I reckon like... Knowing,
no, absolutely not.
Because I reckon, yeah, knowing you're about to jerk off, you're already like, oh yeah, this is going to rock.
Yeah, dessert. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You're never like...
so true.
You're never like, oh, here we go. Going through the motions.
Sometimes like if I ever jerk off, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, oh, I could jerk off. And I get excited. I'm like, oh, this will be fun. It's a fun thing I can do for the next...
It's like literally
minutes.
The little treat that you can have at any
it
time.
A treat.
And it's got no like drawbacks.
Yeah. It is a treat. I mean, you could get addicted to it.
Ah, man.
I think it's
how
pretty...
often are you having to have to fucking do that to you know.
Yeah.
I think we're past the age where that's an option.
Getting addicted to jerking.
Yeah, man. I think we all have a pretty strong handle on jerking off.
I reckon I've honestly jerked off about five times in the last year.
I've done five times since I've been here.
Well, it's
dude.
Hormonally it's different now.
So it's just you don't have an interest in jerking off?
Not really.
I had three yesterday.
But you're still all about... Okay.
First time in a while, but...
That's sick, dude.
That is high. Just after you're being like, we're past the time of being addicted to it.
I jerked off 47 times yesterday.
It's like you jacked off then more meals you ate.
Yeah. Well, I woke up early and then I started work late. So I went before work. And then I was up late last night and I was like, why not? Time
so
to go
you
again.
Had two after work.
Treating
one
yourself.
After work, two before work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thought for a moment we were going to trap you into admitting you had one at work.
No.
Oh,
no.
Have you done that?
Not at this work.
I hear stories about people jerking
at old
work.
Works for sure.
I've beat off at every place I've worked except the place I do now. No, that's
to?
Not true because I work at home at the moment.
I've done it at
beat off
one
there a couple of times.
Which workplace?
I guess I couldn't get in trouble for it at this point. It was I worked for Ericsson.
Are they electronics?
Yeah, it was when I was doing that captioning job.
Oh, that was a good gig.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. All right. In my head, it sounds okay.
It like gave although, me such crushing depression.
Although, yeah, I've edited. I mean, I've subtitled a few videos, and it actually fucking sucks. Mm. It's like such an annoying job.
It's horrible. And doing all the live stuff is just so stressful.
We just go and jerk off to get over it.
I did.
Yeah.
Taunton's the guy. The subtitles all Muggleton's comedy videos.
That is.
With the fun bracket.
Yeah, I do it for free.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the work is its own reward.
Well, sometimes you want to catch up on the news. it's fun.
Catch up on the other news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. No, that's not bad. I think it's really for like someone, a 30-year-old person to be like, yeah, I'm suddenly addicted to jerking off now. Something bad must have happened pretty recently, I think.
What, isn't
it's a strange development.
You know how everyone was like, I've been horny in lockdown.
Yeah. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I wasn't that horny.
I was like less horny. Pretty scared.
Do you
like,
think that's because you're out less seeing people getting fucked up though?
No, I think...
What? Seeing people getting fucked up makes
no,
you
no, like, I know. Like,
was that
going out,
people
getting
comma,
fucked
oh,
out
fucked
and
up.
Seeing people, yeah.
Like, okay,
because if you're
yeah.
out, like, at a bar and, like, there's tons of women, like, paying you attention, I'd be hornier than I was No, I take that back. I'd be hornier at home playing Final Fantasy.
Bar that bar people are paying you attention?
You told me about it, dude. You texted me.
Oh, yeah, I got you in.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I had to tell the bartender and memorize a secret handshake that you came up with.
Yeah,
said.
And you still got to do it during COVID as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
They're like, sorry, if you want to come in and fuck, you got
to
do it.
They keep referring to you as Grand Poobah.
Yeah,
which
they
is
do. There's a picture of me on the wall. Yeah. There's candles around it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not yeah, not a particularly horny lockdown for me.
It wasn't for me at all, and I kept thinking everyone just being like, "I'm so horny, I'm just gonna fuck." And I'm like, "Well, we had different times." Like,
yeah.
I was just watching like World War II documentaries the entire time.
I was seeing someone, and like we weren't having sex. It was just like, oh, no.
Were you in the same like place in the same apartment all the time?
A lot. Like, she lives about 10 minutes from here, so we were just going back and forth between each other's houses.
Yeah, when you actually don't have the break, the like the split up of a day, it's just like, God, it's hard to look at someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of time. I'm so glad.
And consequently, it didn't work out.
I'm so...
Yeah, blame it on lockdown, Rosie, if that makes you feel better.
No,
it's like it's more upsetting for her why it didn't work out.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to reveal? Do you want to let's go? We don't want to talk about that.
Rose, no, not really. Too funny.
Too funny.
Yeah.
That does it. The amount of relationships that have ended.
I was
from too many one-liners.
Yeah. too many zingers. Dude.
Too many zingers.
I'm talking about the burgers.
You're too hot on the riff.
Gotcha. And she goes, "Enough is enough. I can't laugh anymore."
I was going to say, I'm so glad that we got, like, a second room before lockdown happened. Like, we moved in February to a two-bedroom.
You got sleep from in a separate one rooms?
We sleep in the same room, but, like, it was somewhere I can play video games and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But during the day, we're still in the same bed, Sam.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
I've just heard for some couples, sometimes it is a positive step forward.
Yeah.
Sleeping in separate rooms.
Sure.
Sometimes they sleep in separate houses.
Sometimes they sleep inside of other people.
We've been married 7 months. We're not quite at the separate bed stage yet.
Got at least a few more years
of the same bed.
7 months, you go to separate partners.
Separate partners. How long have you been married, Jamie?
3 years.
Have you got any advice for Hastings in the world of
marriage?
Yeah, don't fuck do it, man. No.
That whole thing about like old men seem to do it. They love the jokes of like hating their wife.
It's so weird.
I can't remember the last time I had sex. Yeah.
I just think it's just crazy. Like, it's just one of the funniest kind of. Just it's like, yeah, you hate your wife. Like, what are you talking about? You love your wife. Like, admit that you love your wife.
Yeah.
It's like if she died, you'd cry. You know?
Of course.
Was this like. I can't remember if this is someone.
I'm just picturing a guy crying now.
You know, I told all my mates I hated her.
It's all a lie. I actually liked her quite a bit.
I can't remember if this is someone's bit or not, but like when I used to work in the bottle shop, like I would always get this, and I've heard this from other people, is when like you go, you're like, "Do you want a bag?" And the guy always goes like, "Oh nah, she's at home." You just want to be like, "Is she?"
That would be great doing it if you weren't married.
Is she though?
Yeah.
I used to the golf course I used to work at, they would all be. I'd be like, "How'd you go?" To the old men, they all play golf after their round, and they'd be like, "Pretty shit, but better than a day at home with the missus."
Oh yeah,
and I was like, "Come on!"
I mean, the golf course is exactly where that kind of chat is built for. That
it's like
is
a breeding.
Also,
that
classic golf
when
course.
When I was growing
chat.
Up, because I play golf, like all my friends were like 70-year-old men. It was so bizarre. Once I remember, I was like 13. And I was on the first tee and I was playing with this guy. I can't remember his name, but he was like, I don't know, 65 or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like in a real good mood. And I'm like, "Why are you so happy?" And he leaned over to me. He goes, "Rolled the leg over last night, mate."
Man.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, that's
I can't wait to be 65.
Kind of like rolled the leg over.
Well, I remember thinking, I was like, this sounds all right. Like just battling your wife for sex every 3 months. And if you do it, you're the happiest person alive.
Yeah.
Also, like, that's golf dirty talk as well.
That's
the best they can come up with.
Well, no, sometimes they would have, like, they would have names for things that were kind of, like, quite mean. Mm. Sometimes if your ball went behind a tree, these old men would be like, and that you didn't have a shot to the green, like your ball was kind of stuck behind a tree. People would call it a Peter Brock. And I was like, "What's that?" And they're like, "Oh, dead behind a tree." Which is, that's pretty dark.
Pretty good. Yeah. I think that's like pretty tight.
He's going to chuck the Brocky. Yeah.
It's ready for the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Try that after a Polynesian poly guy.
Oh, you've reminded me about it. I want to bring it back. I think I had two Polynesian removalists yesterday.
Yeah. Were they both your girlfriends at the same time?
No, but they were too. They were not that strong. At one point, a guy was like,
"That's very funny."
He was like, "Dude, this is too heavy for me. Can you help?" And I'm like, "What? I'm paying you to like, help me out here."
Kind of defeats the whole purpose of the service if you're lifting heavy things.
Yeah, I was like, "What are you doing?"
That's literally
like,
the entire.
He's
point
like, "I'm
of
the
it.
Driver." And I'm like, "Great."
He's tired. He's got so many wives to see.
Yeah, he's fucking five times a day. He's fucking more than Hastings jerking off in a day.
Absolutely.
Oh dear! Should we start this?
You guys are all cancelled for that.
Not me. Uncancellable.
You reckon? You did the voice.
Yeah.
Well, that's. We'll all delete that. That is not allowed. That's done, right? Polynesian voices.
I don't know.
A lot of comedians do it.
My instinct is yes, but also like I don't want it to be true.
I think you could do. You could still be Italian, Irish, Scottish, German. Probably,
French.
I assume. Yeah, French.
I reckon
well, I think you
get
can
a,
just
I
do any kind of
you
white
get away
European
with,
language.
I reckon you get away with Polynesian as long as it's like in a positive light. I'll allow it.
No, but you would get. I mean, but that was kind of the rule for a while with Asian accents.
Yeah, and I think it still applies with Poly.
Well, yeah, I was just watching some one of those old applies. British like Live at the Apollo episodes the other day, and like the like Ramesh Ranganathan was on, who's Sri Lankan, I think. And
he's
then,
a great comic,
and I'm not a huge fan. But then,
he's all right. Yeah. Plays like Wembley. That guy,
a friend of Sam's.
Oh, he's like he's very big, but I just like I don't like his.
He's got a lazy eye. What's there not to like?
I like lazy eyes. I love Tom York, but
who are we talking about? I missed the start of this.
But anyway, the guy who went on after him, the guy who went on after him was like doing like a bit that was like a positive bit about an Indian restaurant. But he did the voice of like the Indian waiter working in there, and I'm just like, this is, like, and it wasn't even that long ago, and I was like, this still it feels off.
Yeah, my argument though isn't that I understand that, but I'm saying for Polynesian accents specifically, we're still in the that's okay territory for about another 6 months to a year, I reckon.
Totally, yeah.
As long as it's positive about Polynesians, then
I don't
fair
know.
Play for,
I
for,
think
the,
it's
for
like,
the moment.
Because I think my opinion on comedy is like the audience dictates what is. Like the audience and like the populace dictate what is okay. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, and it's proven like blackface is not okay.
Yeah.
Mm. And, but it's like you can only play to those, you know, everyone used to say like, delete this faggot when they used to do stand up. People used to say that all the time.
Yeah.
No. And now they don't. And I don't think it's because comedians are woke or better people. I think it's because the audience collectively were like, oh, we don't want straight people saying that word.
You're just
you
like,
know what I mean?
Describing like, society.
but
and like culture.
Saying,
like.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. It's like, if you can still do
Sam
a Polynesian
Taun
accent.
Is Joker.
Yeah. I would until, like to do the Polynesian accent.
Yeah. Until the audience is going,
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. By that logic, and that's the logic I'm using to say. Because
we don't
still do
set
Polynesian
the rules.
Accent.
The audience sets the rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just Sam frantically emailing his managers, being like, you got to let me go rural, bro. got some shit.
I've got some stuff. Well, it is different out there. You could still do whatever.
Oh, you could.
You could still say faggot out there.
Yeah, you could do stuff from at least 5 years ago.
And then
maybe
Polynesian
10.
People in rural New South Wales and Queensland and Victoria.
I grew up coastal New South Wales. There was heaps of
fair enough.
Like Polynesian people.
All right. I just picture them, you know. Like,
where
where I'm from, like in Manly.
The beach.
Oh, the beach.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Playing rugby league.
Yep, that's true. They do like rugby league. They like singing.
Yeah. What other stereotypes we got?
Tattoos.
Fucking hell. All right.
Please leave all of that in.
We are leaving all
of
this in.
I wanted to see how far you two would go.
Oh, keep going. I had more.
Yeah, what else do they like?
So did I. But...
What's Oh, no, I can't say it. What's Crookshank? What's Crookshank thing that he says?
Out in Crookshank there.
He told me something very funny once.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Let's start this podcast.
Okay, welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, a podcast about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts and things very much not thereabouts. This is week 5, I think, of the Off-Center experiment where we watch every episode of the failed sitcom Off-Center, brought to you by the fucking writers of American Pie. My name is Rose Piper. Your name is...
I'm Jamie.
And you?
I'm Andrew Hastings, again, the star of the show.
And we're joined by returning guest Sam Taunton. Hello, how you doing?
Thank you so much. I don't know what just happened. The energy was so high in this
room. Yeah.
And then this intro started, and all three of you just were just like, oh,
Yeah, Rose, really, it does. It really seems like you hate doing the intros.
No, but not only Rose, you pulled your phone out, Jamie.
I was getting my notes, motherfucker. I was getting my notes, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm ready. To, I'm bouncing, baby.
I'm ready to.
I still felt like it was down. Yours was Hastings. Well, before, first from
we
before.
Go, first, we got to interrogate the guest, Sam Torn. Thank wonderful you. Guest. One of our made it onto our best of. I believe
That was a real treat. Because not everyone made it on, did they?
No.
Who didn't make it? Who didn't make it?
Oh, God.
Should we out
the majority?
Anyone?
Well, Squires
no,
didn't make it.
No, not the majority. Squires didn't make it.
Alex didn't make it.
Lucy B didn't make it.
Jamie Kirk didn't make it. Rose Piper didn't make it. Yeah. At least in the versions I heard.
The version
we don't make it in the version of the weekly episodes that you hear.
Yeah, that's correct. I want to hear myself talk.
Do you do a director's cut, do you, Hastings?
Yeah, well, like internally. It's just you. I have a filter in my brain that sort of filters out.
Hastings talks and then he hears us talking, but it's us just us doing his stand-up bits in his voice.
Wow. Yeah. Or at the end, it's being like, Hastings is great. He's so talented.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, nailed that question there, Hastings. I'm sure their answer is not interesting at all, but terrific question.
So funny, mate. So funny. So funny.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys are recorded just saying that. I can now isolate that audio.
You're at risk of running away with the show.
Go to sleep to those dulcet tones.
You want to interrogate me, do you?
Yeah, we do, because you sent us on a wild goose chase the last time you were on.
I did, yeah.
You made
yeah.
us watch Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants,
a
I
great
believe.
Film.
That you had not seen.
Have not seen it, no.
And did
Wait,
not watch.
Wait, you haven't seen it, or you hadn't seen it for like a decade?
Oh,
or
yeah,
something?
It was ages ago. Like what I've, a got, mess. I've got the gist of it, the magic pants, you know. Like that's, you know, everyone. They
fit everyone.
They fit everyone. Yeah. It's amazing thing.
And then you made us watch it, and then you came
and
on here and fucking embarrassed us. Yeah, well, we all loved it. Like, that's not what we're talking about.
Thank you for the chance for
everybody.
It's all our favorite movie now. We've watched the sequel.
But that is beside the point.
Yeah. We're mad
it's
at you.
It's about ethics. It's about pride. But they are magic pants, right?
They are magic pants.
They are, very much
I reference it all the time in conversation when someone's like, these jeans fit. And I'm like, maybe they're the jeans from the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Little did I know I'm a fraud.
Don't they have like a big like flower on them or something like that? Is like embroidered
I don't
on?
Think
it's like
they
really
did,
tacky.
Did they? They were just a magic pair of pants that fit every woman.
I feel like there's a tacky
detail
to them.
The flowers in the
them.
Logo, like the font of the DVD.
It's so good we're back talking about this.
Yeah, again. Yeah. You've done it
I've
again.
Done it again. I've done it again. I haven't since, still haven't watched it. But there is a sequel, isn't there?
Yeah, the Sisterhood
isn't
of the Traveling
Pants.
Isn't
there about
four
or five books?
I think there's multiple
think
books, yes.
What if it was like the Kransky Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
That's good.
Is that anything?
That's something.
That is
yeah, let's
fucking
beat
let's, so neat.
Let's call whoever manages the Kransky Sisters and we're like, we've got an idea for you. It's more of a stage show. Yeah,
let's work this out. What do we do?
All right.
Start the show.
It's like, all right, Kransky, okay, so I'm going to need all your jean sizes to begin with.
And there is quite a disparity between one... Well, all three of the Kransky sisters,
I can only picture
sisters,
one of their faces.
One of them is a bit bigger than the other two.
We're gonna,
really?
Going to need a tailor.
Yeah. No, it's like it's like a full like full stage musical.
Is it as simple as
parody.
Maybe that they were
just parodying? Yeah. It's,
is it as simple as maybe they were just kind of elasticated jeans with an elastic waistband?
Yeah.
Look, no one likes it when magic tricks are revealed. Yeah. Like,
don't
the
break the mythology
out.
Of the pants.
Yeah.
But they would be perfect for it.
Yeah,
you know, if they are all different sizes, as you say,
this is true.
What
yeah,
about
yeah.
them? What about? Are there any other movies that the movie would have like the complication of the movie would have been resolved early if the characters had access to magical pants that change sizes?
Oh,
like what other story would that device have like solved problems in?
She's well, all that.
Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11. How?
Well, you know, it would just like it would all work a lot quicker if all 11 of them could fit into the pants, you know.
At once, all 11 gets they get in the pants, they walk into the
casino. Maybe yeah, it's one of those
like
what's
going on here?
Yeah,
someone turns around and steals some money.
Exactly, yeah.
This is a rare treasure.
There's five people in each pant leg there.
Well, at that point, just like sell the pants. Like they probably worth so much these
pants.
That's
true. Yeah.
If I were Frank Ocean, I'd call my dick Ocean's 11.
Would you?
I bet you he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost definitely a lyric in one of his songs
somewhere.
Why
didn't he call
Although,
it
nah, he's
Ocean's
pretty,
13?
Pretty serious.
Yeah, I mean, that's better.
It's better than the...
Because he's humble, dude.
He's humble.
Yeah.
Ocean's 8?
Ocean's 8 is still pretty good.
Yeah, but you're Ocean's 8 because it's all women.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, that wouldn't work for Frank
Ocean.
Yeah, that
would work.
Just start calling yourself Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8. That is actually the best nickname. Or people are like, what are you into?
Fanny Ocean.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to change my name to like Rosie Ocean.
No, Fanny Ocean.
Rosie Ocean's okay.
This Fanny could be worse, Ocean. Yeah.
Have you thought about changing
Fanny Ocean?
Because Danny Ocean is the character.
Yeah. Oh, Danny Ocean. Played by George Clooney.
Yeah.
And then in Ocean's 8, the vagina...
The vagina one.
The vagina one.
The vagina version.
The vagina
Ocean's
monologues.
8, a.k.a. Vagina Monologues.
Who's
too,
the main? The main... Is it Sandra Bullock's the main?
Yeah, and is she his ex-wife?
No, that's Julia Roberts.
I haven't watched it yet.
I think she's Danny Ocean's sister, maybe.
Oh, an old-fashioned crime family.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, are they related? Like, is the storyline's connected?
I think that she's related to him, yeah. Do you want me to check?
What does our Kate, what's her role?
All right, let me check. We're going to look it up.
Our Kate, yeah.
I forgot our
Kate.
She's
the muscle. Yeah.
I met our Kate once.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
It was like a friend of the show, Hannah Story. She used to be the arts editor for themusic.com.au, and she got free tickets to like the season opening of Sydney Theatre Company because it was like Andrew Upton's last one in charge. So we just went there and got heaps of free booze, and then Kate Blanchett turned up.
And what was she doing? Racking it up in the toilets or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. We all did coke with Kate Blanchett.
Imagine sharing a line with Galadriel herself.
That would actually fucking rule so
much.
Like,
you do a line, and she's like, and you're like, hey, I love that acting stuff you do.
we got
she's like, yeah.
I liked it when you played Dylan, dude.
Yeah.
We've got a photo.
She's like a dude, but like not a dude.
She just turns, and she's like, I loved Mortal Comedy too. Especially
thanks,
your
Kate.
Part, Andrew Hastings.
Thanks, Kate.
We got a photo with her, and then some random dude stuck his head in. So there's just some random dude in our photo with Kate Blanchett forever as well. But like,
Photoshop,
we didn't want to be a dick because it was like supposed to be like Andrew Upton's night. So we were like, get in the photo. He's like, nah, I'll take it. I'm fucking way too pissed. He was just worried he was going to look like shit in the photo. So he took the photo.
That's so funny. It's like, what does he care about looking? Oh, was it a staff photographer?
No, your own. It was just, like a.
He's never going to see the photo. You don't know the guy.
Well, he posted online, like we did.
Okay.
Well, I've got the answers here. Okay. Sandra Bullock is Danny Ocean's sister.
Right.
And our Kate is Debbie Ocean's partner in crime. So she's the Brad Pitt.
Right.
So they're Sandra old, long-time friends.
Yeah, it seems like it. Based on this Wikipedia.
Hollywood criminals are so fancy. Like, all the people I do that know that do any kind of low-level crime are not fancy people.
Yeah.
But I guess they're not robbing. I don't know anyone who's ever been like, do you want to rob a casino?
I tried a bit about that bombed in multiple open mics.
I have bombed at multiple open mics as well.
Hmm. No, not me.
Yeah, you never
bombed. I've never bombed. Yeah. Especially not at an open mic.
You came down, we were doing a gig the other night, and you came down the stairs. I didn't see the spot.
Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, I crushed. Yeah. And then I heard you telling someone else, you're like, yeah, I crushed.
Yeah, you know when something happens.
That's so cute. That's just so cute.
Yeah, it sounds like me. It was a good set.
That is so cute.
I'll back him up. He did do quite
well. He did
well.
Yeah,
no,
yeah
did
well,
did
you know,
well.
Sometimes the big dog's got to get his just desserts.
But it is telling that, like, how rarely that may happen. That you come downstairs going to everyone like, oh, I didn't
know.
Just
there just hasn't been good gigs around.
There hasn't been any gigs around.
There's no shows.
Yeah, so I've missed having a hot one.
Yep.
That's what I was excited about.
Yep, it is. You missed the laughter.
Yeah, I did.
Let's talk about this damn show.
Yeah, we introed the podcast.
Are you guys
ages
regretting
ago
this show?
Yes.
Me and Rose were talking about it before.
Yeah,
and I was saying I don't know if it's a result of it being kind of like bad, or if it's just the fact that it's the podcast and it's regimented and you have to do it and have to talk about it. I'm kind of glad that it's a show that's bad.
Yeah.
Because that way I'm like, ah, fuck it. Whereas, like, if it was a great show that I slowly started resenting because of the podcast, I'd find it harder to take.
I don't think it's that bad.
Me neither. I've got Stockholm Syndrome. In fact, my notes say that episode 14 is the best one of the bunch.
I think I started to get Stockholm Syndrome, and now I just like, no, I hate this.
You
is,
hate it
this
with
is
a passion?
Work. Yeah.
It's weird for me coming in, because you gave me three episodes to watch, Rose, which I did as a good guest. I felt guilty from the traveling.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have watched all 14.
Sam, the best apology is change behavior. We
appreciate it. Exactly. I've been recovered, you know. I've changed my ways.
You're renewed.
Do I say that like someone who's that's been said to a bunch of times?
And someone who's disregarded it.
But it was weird coming in. What episodes did I watch?
13, 14, 15.
Yeah,
oh, hang
like
on. We're supposed
no
to do that
concept.
Part, aren't we?
I didn't even Google the show, so I had no concept of this.
Yeah.
Of the you just went in cold.
Yeah. I was like,
how are you going to get this cerebral high concept?
All right, well, here we go. I'll ask that. So you probably got it pretty quick. Who's Mike? Like, what's his deal?
Is he... Is it not a spin-off from American Pie?
No,
no.
Oh, I thought he was the guy.
So you thought,
he was Finch.
But why is he always going on about this Saved by the Bell dude?
That's only in that age.
That was just a one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And also, I think that's aged poorly because since then, like, Screech has appeared in, like, scat porn and shit.
Scat porn? I knew he did porn to, like, try and save money.
He did a thing where he did the shit mustache on someone.
Oh, no.
I can't remember what you call that. The Dirty Sanchez, I think.
That period episode, by the way, has... It, like, is one of the
well, that's the first
it's
one.
Most outdated thing I've ever
highly yeah. evolved. Yeah.
That's the first.
You liked it.
I love it.
That's the first
well,
one.
Let's talk
I'll
about
do
the first one.
The first one is called episode 13. It's called Why Chow Lives Alone. It's Mike stays at Liz's for a while after he gets tired of living with Ewan. To get back at Mike, Ewan has Chow live in Mike's room.
Can I ask a question? What mm-hmm. does Ewan do for a job? And why is he British?
He's like an investment banker.
Yeah, because he was born in England.
So he's the one with the money to fund this crazy apartment.
Yeah.
Well, apparently his investment bank gave him like a relocate. So Mike and Ewan went to Oxford University. There's a lot of law.
That's a crazy backstory.
Mike and Ewan went to Oxford University together.
Together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is so weird because in episode 13, it starts with like Mike being like, why do you call them chips? They're French fries. It's like you went to university in Oxford.
And then he gets a laugh from saying rubbish.
Yeah, it's like rubbish. It's like 4 years you didn't hear the word chips being said.
Yeah,
like,
you would have said it yourself.
Yeah, you would
like, you have to do it when you're
you
over there.
You absolutely would have become a douche who comes back to New York. It's like, oh, I'll have the chips. Yeah. Oh, you call them French fries.
I've been in the bloody old country for a while.
Oh, yeah, I came here on the tube. Oh, sorry, the subway.
There are people in Australia that have been for 6 months who do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
my ex-girlfriend did that before she even went to England.
Talked with an accent.
Yeah, dude. She lives there now, but...
Gosh, can I have a butty? What do they call the bacon sandwiches?
A bacon butty.
Yeah. But I don't understand why he's... Like the guy, the English guy, clearly for some reason they've cast him. Like they didn't need an English guy. Like whose idea was for the English guy? Because then they have to have all this backstory to explain why he's English.
I assume he wasn't English, like specified English in the draft script.
I reckon he was.
Because he's not a strong enough actor just to be like.
Oh, he's terrible.
Just to be like, we need to build the show
around
this.
I think the idea is that because he's British, it helps him fuck.
Oh.
He's like cashing in on his like exotic.
Because I think he is supposed to be some sort of like proto Barney Stinson.
Yeah, he's an international playboy.
Oh, a stockbroker, and he's always having sex a lot.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
But I thought he was the loser, or is Chow the loser?
Well, no, Mike and Chow
different.
Are kind of
Mike and Chow are both losers, but different kinds of losers, I think.
So
Mike,
we're dealing with three losers here.
Yeah.
Mike Fox.
Kind of like me right now.
Yeah. Kind of like this podcast.
Yeah. Mike Fox.
Excuse
but
you.
Only
that's actually
his...
transphobic.
I'm the guest. Mike to say
Mike Fox, but he only fucks his bitch girlfriend.
He doesn't like the girlfriend that much. She's not funny. She's always just like angry at him.
Because they can't make
that's
her
fun. Role throughout
she
the entire show.
She didn't tell a joke the whole time.
Yeah. That's her role for the whole show is to just cause problems. For
And in this
episode, she is awful.
Yeah.
Just because they make her a monster for having her period.
Yeah.
So the period, that's the first, sorry, I just because they all blended into
one. Yeah, that was the first one.
That's the first episode. She's got a period, she's horny, and she's like, please have sex, and he's like, yuck. That is actually the episode pitch that they would have been like,
yeah,
can we do
pretty
that
much.
For an episode? And they're like, yeah, that seems strong.
Yeah.
That seems real strong.
Which is like today.
Halfway through season one.
Like any HBO sitcom or FX sitcom would be about like a guy who kind of likes it.
Like, yeah, it'd be like the guy likes it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there would definitely be a thing of like, we stand a woke king who wants to fuck on the rag.
He like eats me out on my period.
Which is...
I mean, I've got a draft script about that.
Yeah, it'll be like some girls being like, you mean, like it's Sex and the City being like, you mean you're dating a vampire? You know? And they're just trying to make vampire work over 22 minutes, just saying it again and again.
The line,
it's like one guy, they call him the Daywalker and stuff.
The line I've used a couple times is like, if a girl's been like, hey, we can still go on the date if you want, but just like, I don't care, but just so you know, I'm on my period. We can
you
research
go,
one.
Jackpot.
I know, the actual words I've used before is like, yeah, I'm chill with it, I'm pretty woke.
You say that?
Yeah, I've just been like, I'm pretty woke. So.
Do you reckon if there was like a wrestler, this is mostly for you, whose character was like that he was like super woke, his finisher would be called the Rainbow Kiss?
Oh, that's pretty good. It would be that or like the cancel. Like cancelled or something. Yeah. Something about cancelling, yeah.
The cancel king. You know, people try to cancel me because of my Polynesian poly stuff. Yeah. And
I love Justin Trudeau just being like, oh yeah, there's more out there.
He was so funny.
You got to catch him.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah, he was like, I can't guarantee more work.
I was doing a bit about it on my show this year. It was because I thought it was so funny because the first one he came out and he was like, oh. He's like, you know, I don't remember it, but obviously it's happened. I'm really sorry. The next day, like another two come out.
And he's like, look,
and he's like, look, I did a bit. I did a bit of blackface. And then a video came out and he's like, I was doing it so much.
Man, I love
it. He's like waiting for a pause.
He's like
wiping the paint off. He's like, yeah, look, there's some stuff out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, pause is like, I'll still do it. He's like completely brown, like under his suit.
Yeah.
Oh, totally, yeah. He's probably like, when it finally got, you know, it's like he wanted to get into politics and he had to give it up. He must have been so sad.
He's made it out relatively unscathed.
He came out, but he isn't
quite the darling of world politics anymore because that's just him.
Yeah, but he's still like hot and people like.
Yeah, yeah. It's also like he did apologize and he's actually doing good things as well. He's also doing bad things. Like,
but I think if it was this side of the latest Black Lives Matter movement,
oh, he'd be in much more trouble.
But I just think at the moment he would not have lasted.
Yeah, he'd be in much more trouble
really easily. Mm. It's kind of, you know, disheartening to see how little people care.
Run for public office. Mm. Maybe that's the move.
I think yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because I would love to watch.
What's my platform?
I'll fuck you all.
I'll fuck your wives. I'll fuck your boyfriends.
I'll let you fuck my wife.
I would assume
legalized weed would be a big one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a big one, but it'd be on the list.
Would it be must have sex with your wife and she's on her period?
It would be like a selling point. It would be like a vote for me is, you know, if elected, every citizen, if they so choose, can fuck my wife.
Oh my God. How does your wife feel about that?
Who cares?
Be a good first lady.
A more cutting question, at least for you, would be how would you feel about me fucking your wife?
Great question, Rosie.
Yeah, I regret to... I drop out of this race.
it's over. That's like the Mau Meninga turnaround.
Yeah,
that was about as
like
quick,
within 30 seconds. It's been like, oh, it's too hard. I'm out.
I thought about one for you.
Yeah,
I've just done the GST question about the cake. I'm done his whole career.
You would do massive injection of cash into the arts.
Sure,
as long as you're the subject of the arts.
We're putting
millions of dollars in the Opera House putting on maybe, let's say, stand-up comedy that I, Andrew Hastings, host every day.
Like, or if it's like you're a musician, it's like there's grant available to write songs about Andrew Hastings.
Or let me in the band to do a solo on Fuck Your Wife.
The Archibald this year is unprecedented funding, but of course all the portraits are of
big public-funded show, big name in lights, Andrew Hastings opening for Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You still just want to open.
You could have anything if you still
opening for Will Anderson.
And at the end. And he occasionally retweets your fringe shows in the Container.
Exactly. All I want to do is sell out the Container. That's the dream.
You could do that.
We have done that.
Sorry. I don't know.
I was there. I was there. It was pretty close.
Did you buy a ticket?
No, I opened.
Oh, you did the Hastings to Will
Jamie
Anderson.
Kirk opening for Andrew Hastings opening for Will Anderson.
I was the Andrew Hastings to his Will Anderson that night.
Oh, well, that's great. I wish I was at the show.
It was so good. It was actually really good.
Sure it was. That room is great when it's full.
I quite like it when it's full.
Yeah, the terminal is pretty special.
Yeah, the terminal is good. I haven't done that one and it's been full though.
Again, in this episode.
It was actually quite empty when I did it.
Yeah, well, it's when it's empty, it's empty.
Oh,
Yeah, I did the Nasty show there a few times. And when it's full, it's a nice little spot. When it's not, I'm repeating your sentiments.
Yeah.
Well, good input there.
Repeating the sentiments, but bragging that you got
guys,
on a show.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm pretty stoned.
We were speculating before the recording. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's cool, man.
I'm straightening up for bouldering. I'm going to go bouldering soon. But let's keep potting.
Here's a question for you, John.
I'd love that.
So we've kind of delved into what you think about Mike, you and Chow and Liz.
Okay.
What's your impression, this is your first episode you've ever watched, of Status Quo?
The black one.
The black guy.
Oh, the dude. Yeah, it's like, what's his accent? Is he British as well? Trying to do an American
accent?
He's
like rich. He's like fancy.
The running joke with him is just like he's a gangster rapper who's actually like
quite. He's a white guy,
like Kanye West,
who acts like a white guy. Yeah.
But he acts like a kind of like upper class white
except
guy.
I mean, it's a weird kind of like. It is like a weird stab at kind of. It feels like a weird tokenism thing to be like, we've got a black person in our show, but he is he's pretty fancy and he's pretty white.
Also, does that mean I have much to too read? Often the joke is he's gay.
Like, well, there's a lot of gay panic.
Chow seems to be Chow quite
saying things are gay.
Yeah. He says gay quite a lot.
Are we now talking about the second episode?
Let's talk about this. I would like to talk about the second episode.
Okay, the second episode is called Mission Impossible, which is Status Quo fires his posse when Mike and Ewan tell him they are all yes men.
I liked this episode. I thought it was a fun
thing.
Thank you,
because I have some things to say. This is the terrific one I took most notes about.
However, when Status Quo invites the neighbors to be his new posse, he treats Ewan like a slave instead of a friend.
Because that was quite interesting, because it was like, and Ewan is just like a star fucker. He just went along with anything.
Yes.
Also, I hated them saying star effer.
I know, that like, was so lame.
Come up with like a, just say groupie or something.
But this was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was probably edgy to be like star
effer. I think they wanted to say effer because it sounds...
It's obvious that they wanted to say star fucker, but like, just, I don't know, say groupie. It just sounds so clumsy.
Did you guys ever go to star fuckers at Club 77?
Yes.
Yeah. Big time.
Take me back.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. You guys take MD Mayor right now.
Let's do it.
You are dressed right now like you're on your way there.
Oh, man, please. Take me back.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like that looks like someone who would be on a star.
Hastings is always dressed like Club 77 might come back at any.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's like, I'm ready.
Yeah, he's like, here we are. Who wants Ken?
Yes, man. I was.
Did you hear there are dogs in the bathrooms?
Are the clubs open? Like the
we? No, I don't think so. Because you have to be like sitting down. Really, is kind of the rule.
Yeah.
You got to just take your caps at home now.
Mm. It's a lot of home stuff.
I've been doing a lot of. Yeah, it's been great.
Have you?
Yeah.
Bit much.
Episode.
I might have a little dance tonight.
So much respect there, Hastings, because everyone was clearly moving on.
Yeah.
Just letting you guys know I'm taking drugs. I hope my boss doesn't listen to this.
Oh, that's so funny.
I hope he does.
I reckon he's
probably just a fan.
Yeah.
What is it like? If you were in a job and your boss listened to your podcast where you talked very openly about using drugs, like, could they fire you?
Yes. Say it was all a joke.
Yeah, like this is a comedy podcast.
I think you could go
like,
pretty far with a wrongful termination suit if they fired you.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what was in your contract. If it said you can't do a podcast talking about drugs,
my thing would be more.
There's also a lot of like NDA stuff about like talking about your role publicly and stuff.
Yes.
There's also like I probably said stuff on the pod that implies I've done parts of my job poorly, which they may use as an excuse.
That's true.
To fire me for being like, yeah, I put MDMA in my asshole last week or whatever I did.
Right, but you'd be a great employee, I assume.
They love me down there. Yeah, I had my performance review the other day. They love me.
What'd they say?
They said that I'm doing a great job.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great news. I'll sleep easy tonight.
Yeah.
And yet I can't get a fucking job.
Yeah, they're big fans of me down there. He actually used the phrase, everybody loves you, in the performance review.
Can you get Rosie a job?
Rosie already went for that job and didn't get it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's genuinely true.
It is hard to get
Although jobs.
This is pre-COVID.
Went for an interview.
Had to twist the knife.
Make
clear what happened.
This was a long time ago.
I had an interview, like a job interview over Zoom the other day with the main competitor for the job that I kind of got the ass from last year.
Oh, that
so
would be nice.
Wouldn't that be a fucking sweet fuck you to get that gig?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'd love that. Sick.
And do you think you'll get it?
Like, I'm in with a shot purely because I used to work there.
Just
like,
say, I'll give you all the secrets.
I did.
Oh, in the meeting?
Pretty much, yeah.
You gotta hold the cut. Oh,
I've done that in job interviews where I've been like, yeah, I can give you information.
Yeah, but you hold on to it. You're like,
I didn't tell them the information then.
Oh,
I'm like, I've got the information.
Yeah. Nice, that's so good.
Yeah.
You're a snitch. You're both snitches.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, scabs.
Absolutely. I'd like try to.
That's not really a scab. That's more me like getting revenge.
I like help try steal clients and shit.
Yeah,
and
probably that makes it.
It's less snitching and more like I know what goes on, so I know how you can get
ahead.
Do you
have a vendetta against the other person?
It's just business.
That's good. Yeah, it's business. Yeah. You said that in the Zoom, like it's business, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing gets in the way of Rosie and her money.
Yeah.
That's important. She's all about
except
you gotta get paid.
Yeah. She's all about the banjos. $10 notes.
Sick.
That's awesome. There's an annoying guy.
I've actually never heard that.
Never heard that ever.
That feels like something I would have heard.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Did you hear from Yaz? I feel like it would have come out of Yaz's mouth.
No, it wasn't Yaz.
That's awesome. There's a guy at the cafe I go to who's so annoying. He always tries to come up with a new name for like money. You know when people are just like...
Yeah, just a couple of lobsters.
Yeah, but they'll be like, oh, that's $4 or whatever. He's just having a crack. The other day he goes, what did he say? He goes, oh, there's 4 dingoes, thanks. Like, you can't call dollars dingoes.
Yeah.
Is that's he so a good. White guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Would it make it different?
What would
I
it matter?
I feel like maybe, yeah. For dingoes? I don't know.
It would only be okay if he was a dingo.
Yeah, he was an actual Australian wild dog.
Then. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd be like, this is a great cafe you've got, Australian wild dog.
Woof, woof.
You think the line would be out the door as a cafe run by a dog.
You would. You'd go there for a coffee.
Oh, fuck yeah, I would.
I'd go.
Everyone's like, you heard about this dingo doing lattes?
Yeah.
Apparently it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dingo's just there like...
You gotta go check it out.
Like Radiohead albums or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like a barista.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the Radiohead came in here one day. They love our coffee.
All right, you've apparently had things to say about...
Yeah, I want to talk about this one because... Sam, what we do after we've talked about all the episodes is we assemble like a writer's room where we try and fix the sitcom.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's nothing to fix.
Well,
I'm out the door.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you say that because this one, like, not only takes ideas from us, even though we're 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's the only episode of the show so far in 14 episodes that has a plot for all of the main characters.
Well, this is Stannis's first... major plot line,
yes,
is it,
and right? Also, it's not about how status quo might be a latent homosexual. Ewan does not get to be a shit cunt in this. The whole thing where Mike and Chow don't really get on, like, outside of people, gives Mike something to do other than be a whiny bitch.
But that's also, like, that's a stolen Seinfeld story.
Oh, but it's a stock.
When George and Elaine...
Oh, that's been in so many sitcoms.
But also, the craziest thing in this episode, there might actually be one... I mean, there's a few faults, I think, in this episode. The craziest one is the magic storyline. It's not needed, and it's wedged in at the end for no... Like, you could cut that out.
Hard disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because to me, like, I was going to say no.
I think that's I think that was just a reason to give Liz some sort of storyline, which normally they'd just be like, well, let's just not fucking bother.
Oh, so you're saying it's actually kind of like a work thing to do.
Not
well,
work,
just because they normally, like, would happily ignore Liz.
It is inconsequential, but it is something that she gets to do without just being like, you're a slut or you're a bitch, which are the two options they give her usually.
And so now she's a
magician. This time you're a dork.
Yeah, now she's a dork.
But it was so, like, wedged in where it was like...
Yeah, it was.
Last minute, I reckon they were like, what do people think is lame? And they're like, magic?
Yeah.
Magic?
Let's just say
it is very, like,
but for an ensemble sitcom, every episode of the show so far leaves at least one or two characters out of there. Like A and B stories. This is the first one, I think, where everyone gets something to do.
Can I ask you about a specific scene in this episode?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know when Chow sticks his hand, he drops soup on his hands and he'd been fighting. What were on his hands?
I believe that's from the video game he'd been playing.
Yeah, it was like he had braces on his hands because he just fucked his hands up from playing too much video games.
Does he work at that store?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. He works at a Vietnamese restaurant.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah,
that's why he was there. Because I just not having watched the first episodes, I didn't know that.
Also, like, this takes our advice that we made. Like, it essentially does everything that we said so far. Like, it gives Ewan an embarrassing secret, which when we came up with it was comic books. But this is, like, it's literally the same. Like, he keeps celebrity magazines under his bed. And, like, I think it works. Like, it's funny the idea that, like... Again, like, it veers a little too close because it's American Pie, a little too close to, like, celebrity magazines, gay, dude. Like, you know, but, like, but at least it's something that humanizes him other than, like, what's his weakness? Maybe he fucks too much. Sorry, Hastings. But, it's all right.
Well, no, totally. So anyway, like, a big kind of resolution moment where he spoke about friendship. Even though it was one of the, it was maybe some of the hackest dialogue.
Oh, absolutely.
You could ever see in your life. He was human and he was like, I thought we were friends. Well, I mean, status was like, I thought we were friends. And he's like, yeah, friends don't do this to each other.
Well, because until...
Also, Kenan Thompson.
I know, right?
And he was in the next episode as well.
Yeah, and the original Black Power Ranger.
Really?
Is DJ Cheddar, I believe.
Really?
Hold on, Black Race or Black Color Power?
I think he's doing Saturday Night Live a few years after.
Both.
I think he might be.
No, he was removed from. He was not on SNL by that point.
No, but I think he might be in, like, he might be a recurring member of the posse.
Imagine
now.
If this is his big
Yeah,
break.
Yeah, I think it. Mm. I think, like, after Ken and
Wasn't
Kel.
Wasn't he a child star?
Is, yeah, this is after Ken and Kel.
When would he have gone on Saturday Night Live? It wouldn't have been too far after this.
I think it was 04 or something.
Because isn't he the longest serving cast member now?
He's been going for so long.
Yeah, because this was 2001 and 2.
Did anyone go on to do anything after this show?
John Cho.
John Cho's done a bunch.
What's John Cho doing now?
He's the lead in the upcoming Netflix version of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, cool.
Wasn't he in a sitcom that was kind of like a bit of a cult hit?
He was in a sitcom that like was critically acclaimed called Selfie, but it like got canceled pretty quickly, which was famous because he was the first Asian American romantic lead on TV.
Yeah.
He's also been Sulu in the new Star Trek franchise.
Oh, really?
He's obviously been Harold from Harold and Kumar.
Yeah,
and
so
he's
killing
also
it.
Been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's doing so.
He was
good.
In a like pretty underrated like horror movie from the last couple of years called Searching, which is great.
Oh, I've heard of
it's
that.
So cool how like all these like
one of the
become
MILF
cool
guys.
Actors all have to do the most dog shit stuff.
Absolutely,
like everyone does. Like there's probably like one actor or maybe like a handful of actors that have.
It's like the only just two Daniel Day-Lewis.
I feel like the only two people who seem to have had like quite decent careers of the main cast of this. John Cho and Lawrence DeMille, because Lawrence DeMille ended up on Grey's Anatomy.
Which one's Lawrence DeMille?
Liz.
Oh, she's great though. You know?
Yeah, she's good.
She just doesn't have enough airtime.
Yeah, the problem is the script and stuff.
And the character that she has to play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's great at it, but it's just like the most. Yeah, it's like the Breakfast Radio.
Yeah.
That is like the show's dynamic.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
These crazy guys.
Yeah.
And then you're an annoying woman who tries to semi keep them in check.
Yeah.
When I become Australia's most prominent shock jock in 20 years' time, Rose is going to be my the Jackie O to my Kyle.
Awesome.
I think she's going to be like, Andrew, you can't say that. Stop it. Oh, you're so cheeky.
But you know, like, they get paid like $5 million each a year.
Insane.
I would do that for $5 million.
Absolutely.
I reckon it'd be more than that, to be honest.
Well, apparently
for like Sandilands for sure.
I heard too. They've both been there for fucking forever.
They're probably underpaid for how much revenue that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what me and Rose are going to be.
Shock jocks.
Well, I'm going to be a shock jock. Rose is going to be there.
I'm the shock jock.
Have you started doing
some demos? This podcast. You're on it right
now. This is a demo.
Yeah.
For your radio show.
Yeah, we're interviewing you.
Right, okay.
Are they talking about
keeping
their
in
shock
mind.
Demos again? Always, every time I go to the bathroom, they're always
who's
pulling out the sound effects
who's
board.
Who's Jamie in all this then?
I'm not on it.
Is that producer who like occasionally pops up like Gracie on Martin Malloy?
Oh, yeah.
Or Sean.
Who
Michael.
I believe ended up becoming some sort of neo-Nazi.
I'm sick of Jamie stealing my limelight.
That is cool stuff.
I'm the Shawn Michaels of the podcast, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to fire him for stealing my focus.
And who am I then in this?
You're the guest. You're the Sam Worthington standard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
How's Avatar 2 coming along?
yeah,
that's
great.
The kind of stuff.
I'm working on my accent.
Yeah.
Should I read the third episode thing or do you have more to say about this one?
No, I think this episode is good.
I thought it was pretty. I thought it was
I think you might be right
episode.
That it's the best
I think
episode
it's the,
so
it's
far.
It's the platonic ideal of what it should be as a sitcom. It should be funnier. But, like, it's trying stuff with all its characters.
Okay. Mm. And this next episode.
Okay. This next episode 15, Faking the Band.
Back to
Chow and Ewan pretend to
pretend
to be rock stars to score women. Mike makes Liz angry when he proposes while drunk and forgets all about it. This episode shit me to tears.
Can I say,
why?
Loved every second of this. I thought this was better than the previous episode.
I actually kind
of
like this one too. Yeah.
It was cheeky. Oh. It was silly.
It was goofy and loose.
I love the ending.
I thought it was great. Something about the band thing just makes me cringe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought this one actually.
Did you see too much of yourself in it,
dude?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Genuinely, that could be a thing.
I think there's probably two things here you're relating to too much. The big night, not remembering what you did the next day. Like,
I didn't mind that storyline.
Classic
it's like
hangover
a,
structure.
It's like a
absolutely.
Decent device to, like, have him keep getting it wrong.
Yeah,
and I thought, like, Mike was out of the three episodes where, like, the first one, he's an absolute pig of a human.
Mm.
The second one, he's kind of like on the sidelines. This one, like, gets him to be the main, but Like, they get him to still be kind of a dick, but he's also kind of sweet.
He's trying to do the right thing, but due to circumstance, you know, he just kind of keeps getting unlucky. Like, and then when he gets the tenor to come in and sing the song.
Yeah.
And it's just the whole thing's a calamity. Do you know what I mean? He should have just written it himself. Why'd he get tried to do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's also, I think, like, there's a couple of instances of specific good lines in this episode for this sitcom.
Interesting, because I was going to say, a lot of the joke writing is horrific.
Oh, absolutely. It's fucking
that is,
horrible.
I think, the main takeaway I had from the show is that the storylines are whatever. Sitcoms are like, there's, you know, there's probably only 20 storylines you can kind of have, and they're all variations of that.
Yeah.
But some of the punch-ups in this are fucked. Like, not even jokes.
I've watched 15 episodes of this now, and I've barely laughed. Like,
well, I can tell you the two things in this that I thought were funny.
Mm.
The first is that, like, this is, like, such a stock standard sitcom, like, line, but I thought the way John Cho delivered it was good. When, like, he told the women there he was in a band and they, like, said something, he's like, honestly, usually I don't get this far.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I laughed at that as well. Yeah. I thought that was great.
That's
and
fine.
Because he freaks out. That was good acting as well.
Yeah. And the second line...
John Cho is being, like, the best performer of the show is a running thing we have. Like, the consensus is
he gets written into it more as it goes because he's obviously the star.
Yeah, right.
And the second line I like so much because so much of the humor in this taunts your writers. Like, bad joke writing, but, like, desperately trying to be raunchy as well.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas this part, like, was almost, like, deliberately absurd.
Yeah.
Where status quo is leaving the room and says ciao, as in the Italian word bye.
Yeah.
And ciao says status, and, like, just because he thinks that, he's saying his name.
That's, I mean, that's funny.
That's
right?
also not bad. Like, that kind of old, like, vaudevillian, like, mix up thing is, I think that's,
well, that's what
funny.
I'm saying. Like, it's well acted, and it's a line that you don't expect to come from. Like, usually it'd be like ciao, and they'd be like boner, you know? Like, and, like, you'd be like, well, this doesn't fit. They're just trying to say the word boner.
I wonder if, like, and this is crazy, but I wonder if that was, like, an improvised line. Because I'm like, if those writers thought of that, surely they would have used
you could
it in
do
a
better.
Bigger moment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
It is interesting you bring up the writer.
That could be an
Because I ended up IMDBing every single person who wrote
what
on
that,
it.
Well, I have been meaning to do that,
that's
and I haven't yet.
What else they've worked on.
So the most prominent duo, I believe their names are... I might be getting the first names the wrong way around.
Mark Henteman is one.
Barker and Weitzman, who went on to create with Seth MacFarlane American Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the name that I always think of first is Mark Henteman, who wrote a lot for Family Guy.
Yeah. So the writing staff is pretty split between people that have gone on to, like, long careers with Seth MacFarlane. Like, I think one of the guys running Off Center still runs American Dad. Which, like, people say is not bad.
I kind
of
like American
Dad. You know, it's one of those things you just...
They
see
also
you see an episode of it now.
They also say it got a lot better. The other half of the writing staff seem to, like, write for baby sitcoms. You know, like, things like... things like Kenan and Kel, essentially.
Right,
things on Nickelodeon, and then this was, like, their adult...
Yeah, like iCarly and
that's
all that
not a bad gig to get into.
And this was, like, their fucking raunchy adult thing, and then they kind of, like, stopped forever or went back to, like... Nickelodeon or teen, like, stuff.
Do you know what's crazy? Because I don't know, like, I went on the Wikipedia page on the way here. It's still rated, like, it was getting well over, like, 2.5 million people.
People watched TV back then.
Well, I mean, also in America, but it's like, it got 2 seasons, this show.
It,
like,
didn't, it got 1 and a bit season.
Oh, did they cut it mid?
Seven episodes season? Into the second.
Jeez.
4 episodes, I think, didn't air.
Yeah,
it also could have been like the numbers written. They were getting weren't in the demos that they needed to get them in or whatever.
There's a lot of elderly people.
I had to learn about that for pro wrestling stuff recently. It was like a debate that happened in pro wrestling.
Oh, really?
About like one show, the two shows were head to head, and one show got more numbers, and the other show was like, yeah, but we got you in the demo, and everyone was like arguing about it online. Wow. It was all very uncool.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, also just because of 2002. Like, the least popular sitcom in 2002, whatever views it would get, would be in the top 20 now.
Yeah. Oh, like top 10
like,
now,
like, numbers like Friends or Frasier, like, people 20 million watching is unheard
of.
Well,
we also don't know what, like what people watch. Sitcoms people don't really watch now. We don't know what streaming numbers are.
Netflix, don't publicize their numbers.
So you don't really know what people
It's streaming and in America, like DVR, so, like, people watching it, like, a day later or something.
But how do they get the streaming numbers?
They don't. So, like, it's all guesswork now, and it's still, like, that's what...
Well, Netflix do that thing now where they're, like, top 10 in your country today.
Yeah, but a lot of people still, like...
Well, Netflix have the numbers, but they don't publish...
But it's, like, I reckon something like The Last Dance, for example. Yeah. I reckon... I would love to see how many people...
Yeah, Tiger King or something like that.
I reckon
you'd
be looking at, like... And it worldwide. I reckon, you know, 100 million people probably watch that.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with a lot of, like, people... A problem that people have a lot with mainstream TV these days is, like, they're still using, like, the Nielsen model, which is, like, they don't even count...
That's like a box thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's not even every person in America. It's families they give it to, which usually tend to be in, like, middle America.
I was nearly one of the households that got one, like, 2 years ago. Well, yeah, we were in the process, but it ended up being too much effort. I was like, this will be, like, really interesting. But they were going to put a thing in our fucking house.
It is weird, like, because it is... I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
At all. And it can't be accurate.
No.
And just sometimes I reckon there's no one watching TV.
It also doesn't factor into like...
Yeah, Saturday other. Everyone's down watching their kid play footy.
Totally. Absolutely. There are times when it's like... When I used to work at MTV years ago, we had a show and on the ratings, I voiced a show. If it goes below like 400 or something, you just get like... It's just a one or something.
Yeah.
And today, well,
it's like the asterisk in the HSC.
Yeah.
You get a UI below 30.
And it's like zero to whatever it is, 200, 400 or something. And they just don't know if anyone's... And I'm convinced this show, there was just zero people watching. It was on at 11 o'clock on MTV, which is a channel that I think...
11 a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
Yeah.
Who's watching MTV at... well, I mean, the channel's gone.
Oh, there could be a few losers at home, like just being stoned, like, oh, maybe some music's going to come on.
No, I don't have Foxtel.
Yeah, you had to have Foxtel.
That's so it's got to be rich losers.
Yeah, who live with their parents.
Mm. Yeah. Should we start wrapping this pot up?
Well, we got to do the last segment.
All right, what is the last segment?
Let's crack
what
through it, though. I got to go.
I have a heart out as well.
Yeah.
The time is 25 to 5.
The podcast's supposed to go for an hour.
No. How long have we gone for?
An hour and five. Jamie's just shaking his head for my lack of commitment. Yeah,
we're just strapping in.
Hastings can't leave.
How about I come back tomorrow? We'll do another two.
Now we're cooking.
So
I'll watch some more episodes.
The segment is what we mentioned before. We're a writer's room brought in to fix the show.
Yes.
We've done this with our last few guests. We've done this with Laura Coleman, David Woodhead, and Alex White. So
some changes we've made.
All of their changes are now canon, so we have to work within those guidelines.
Move forward with the changes.
This is interesting.
All right, so we've broken Liz and Mike up.
Oh.
Mike is now a Muslim, and I assume Arabic.
Yeah, because this show's like immediately post 9/11.
This came out a month after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mike's an Arab.
Talk about it?
No, I don't think Mike.
There was a
Mike
one
wasn't
brief.
An Arab. He was just a guy that's.
All right. Well, I'm making that change now. He's not a white Muslim. He's an Arabic Muslim guy, and he's not played by Eddie K. Thomas anymore because Eddie K. Thomas sucks.
Status quo is gay.
He is gay.
He came out.
Yeah. Awesome. He came out in a very special episode we came up with.
Oh, great. Awesome. That's awesome.
Ewan is Jewish now, I believe.
Yep.
We mostly just changed races.
And that is all the big changes.
And Chow in the last episode fucked Liz.
Yes,
I like that. And I think that is the direction it needs to go in.
Because
to me, they're the two stars.
Yeah, we haven't necessarily made them dating, but they fucked in the last episode.
Yeah, it was one of those like, we made a mistake they do in every long funny. Yeah.
Did they
sitcom.
Like it?
Yeah, oh, of course they like it.
But then
obviously
they do that thing where like, maybe that's the start of this episode is like they wake up with the like L-shaped bed covers and like, we can't tell Mike about this.
Yeah,
Do you think I want? Is Mike okay from the breakup?
Well,
yeah, he got over it pretty quick.
No. He's sad. He's a sad man. Like we've made him lean into the sad because he's an Arabic Muslim living in New York after 9/11.
Yeah, so our job
and his girlfriend just broke
our
up
job
with him
is
because
fixed.
He's Arabic.
No. Yeah. Because they're not meant for
each
other.
They're not compatible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our job is to fix the show. We're taking story pitches. Sam, what have you got? Working within these frameworks.
So that's the situation now.
I have an idea for a situation.
You could almost stick with the second episode and just kind of tweak it.
I have an idea for an episode I want to run.
Okay.
And this is, again, to get Status Quo and Liz in the forefront, who are two of the lesser seen people, that Status Quo is forced by the record label to make a video featuring Hella Bitches.
Okay.
And the single is called Hella
Bitches.
Even though Status Quo has just come out as like gay to his record label. Mm. So, but they're still like, nah, you go stay in the closet, man. Like you're doing this. And they want, and so Liz is recruited to be a dancer in the video.
Sam, is that what your management do to you? They told you not to come out?
Yeah, that's what, yeah. No, you, they would be like, they asked me, they're like, "Are you gay? Please come out.
Sam,
we would
please.
Love you to come
You've
out.
Gotta help. Really You've got to help us."
It's like, also, can you do a paternity test or something? Like, what have you got? Anything would be great. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I like
because it also deals with like Mike as a ex-boyfriend and a Muslim having trouble with Liz shaking her booty, whereas Chow, who just nutted in her, super cool with it.
Do you think Chow? So Chow's actually quite progressive.
Well, Chow loves it because he's like, these are the kind of videos that I beat off to. You know, he's still Chow, but he's just like cooler.
Right. Okay. What if we?
He's like Hastings.
Yeah.
And Chow.
Chow is a lot like Hastings. I'd say
we'll the ultimate ladies' man.
I'd say we'll take out a lot of Chow's. That's gay.
Yeah.
Because like, the issue I think you're going to have now with the like, because Liz needs storylines to stay in the. Because this often happens in sitcoms. If you break the leads' partner up, and their kind of role was the partner, you need to find an excuse to keep them. Because it's not. Reality that they would stay in the friendship.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think our thing as well is she's quite close with status quo.
Yeah.
Because she was his confidant before he came out as
awesome.
Gay.
That's good.
And also,
so
we
could
don't,
she join his entourage?
We also don't want Liz's stories to necessarily always be like, Liz fucks someone.
Yeah, yeah.
No, of course not. What did she do for a job?
She works for a non-profit
that benefits animals.
Hastings. Wow. Fucking him.
Okay.
She works for a non-profit that benefits Hastings.
She's great. The show should be about her.
Yeah.
Fucking Hastings.
Fucking
all right,
Hastings.
I'm done with this bit.
What if she...
Oh, yeah, that's also a running thing, is he's a terrible nuisance in the writer's room.
Yeah, he only got hired because...
He's
the,
a character.
He's a nepotism hire.
He would be so bad in
Hastings.
Oh, yeah.
So Hastings got hired because the network executive is his uncle. And so he forced us to do it.
I've got good ideas.
If Hastings in a writer's room would be writing Hastings in as a character, like Roy in that episode of The Simpsons.
It's like we've got eight characters here that we need storylines.
Itchy and Scratchy and Hastings.
Young Jerry model.
All right, I think I've got a storyline for Trish here. What if she fucked this new character, Andrew?
Yeah, you'd be Itchy and Scratchy and Hastings.
Every week, Andrew. Just ask Trish on a date.
What if... Okay, so I'm in the writer's room for How I Met Your Mother, and it's like, okay, what if we do an episode where Ted goes back to his hometown, meets his high school friend, Andrew Hastings, and he fucks Ted's mom?
And that's all I would watch that.
Then he comes in and he fucks Robin, he fucks Lily.
Well, why don't you fuck someone in this show, not Liz? Why don't you fuck Status?
Yeah. I don't want to be in this.
Status should get
Status
a cool
is
boyfriend.
Ripped and shredded.
Maybe that's
his
story.
His
that
body
story.
When
do
he
you
was wearing
do
that.
That
like,
yeah, okay, that's the storyline.
Wait, what's the storyline?
Status gets a boyfriend.
A boyfriend.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Played by
Liz
Andrew.
Feels like a bit
well,
like shafted by that, maybe. Or
well,
no.
I also think like
that could be
Status
good.
Getting
so close.
Status getting a boyfriend could work with the idea that he's filming the single called Hella Bitches.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Maybe
is the resolution of the episode that they end up being loud and proud, and it's called like Hella Dongs or something with three Z's.
Oh, and then he. Has he come out
and
to
then
the
we
world?
Get away. Yeah, and then we
no,
get
no.
Away.
No.
Yeah.
But
it's
he
like,
can in this
what
episode.
If it's
I
like
this episode, he comes out to
okay,
the world.
Okay, so what if...
He's, so far, he's only out to like the group.
Okay, so what if in the end... Like,
I like where this is going.
It's
about... big time.
So at first, like, it was about Liz dancing, but in the end, the people dancing in the clip are Mike, Ewan, and Chow.
Yes, obviously. Oh. Yeah.
And they're hella dons.
And then they become international, like, gay sex symbols as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then so it takes off. And then the show from here really goes in a different direction.
It's about gay.
Like, imagine if...
What a curveball that would be.
Imagine actually doing this in early... Imagine actually doing this in early 2002 is a gay rapper doing a song called Hella Dongs, and the backup dancers are a Vietnamese guy, an Arabic Muslim, and a Jewish guy.
A Jewish-British guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
we'd be fucking swimming in Emmys.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I reckon that's a great move. And then, but then is there going to be conflict between, what's her name, Liz? Between Liz and...
Well, no, I think the way to do it is that, like, so halfway through, they pivot to Hella Dongs, and Liz is mad that she's, like, been talked out. Like, she's excluded from the video now because she just wanted to shake her thing.
And she feels excluded from
it. Yeah, but the thing that happens is she comes around and realizes that, like, to be a good friend, it means supporting her gay mate no matter
who's
what.
Who's got a boyfriend and is doing this.
So
video.
She, like, lets Mike, Chow, and Ewan do it. And then they'll, and then, but, like, she's also smug. She's like, look at them. They're making fools of themselves because they're dancing really
shit. But then,
because Ewan does his trademark awful dance in it.
In the last scene, her and Chow leave together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's a little wink.
We want to keep
like,
a...
even though at the start of the episode, they're like, we can never do that again. And then
Maybe she sees... And then the last scene after the credits, back in the bed, and they're like, we did it again.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Oh,
because
straight white male, but we finally got...
Because you can have a little shot of like her being like, oh, look at them dancing. It's ridiculous. Chad looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, totally. That's, I reckon, what happens. Yeah,
I would love to be like a gay icon. I think that would rule. I got reblogged. This is in like 2012 or 2011 or something.
You really don't listen. Like,
no, but yeah, you're just sitting there and thinking. Like, anyway, but Hastings wants to say something here.
I think what you're doing, they'd all become gay icons and stuff, like Chow and the dancers.
It would be.
Well, maybe that could be like a further episode where like they deal with the fallout from becoming gay icons.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to talk about the time how in like 2012 or 11 or something.
I thought you had a hard out.
A photo, yeah, I do. But a photo of me got rocked.
I think he meant that he has a hard on.
He's hard. He's
popped
horny,
a couple of Viagra on the way over.
The story will take 5 seconds.
Yeah. Wow, what an episode, right? At this point, what happened? Who knows? Did our celebrated guest with a cheeky pass maybe kick out the power cable, thus cutting the recording short and ensuing a long recovery process? Who's to say? But we want to thank Sam Taunton for having him on. He's a great guest. You can listen to his podcast with Sydney comedian Tom Cashman. It's called The Good Stuff, and it's on iTunes. Plugs for us are the same. Come to Everly Comedy. Follow Andrew Hastings and Rose Piper and myself on Twitter. And if you've ever got any suggestions, email us at weateitallpod@gmail.com or weateitall69@gmail.com. Who knows? We've said it before. To the next ep.